Start reading at verse 19 of Romans chapter 8. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Until now. Praise God. Well, as we look at this, the idea is that the world is waiting on us, the sons of God. And they're having problems and they're waiting on the problem solvers. Because what we found out is that level one problems cannot be solved with level one solutions. That it takes a level two solution to really solve a level one problem. And you can always tell when folks dealing on the same level with the problems, they seem to be doing trial and error. I hope this works. Are you following what I'm saying? I hope this works. She can go out that door, please. She can go out that door. Thank you. That door. That door. We got to use some brains here, too. All right, now. So, the world is waiting for us. That's the bottom line. And the world really doesn't want to know your God, think about it, until you have created a platform for sufficient credibility. You know, they want to see something about your life. So we are the sons of God. Sons doesn't have to do with gender. It's talking about mature offspring. And that we are the ones that basically are going to be doing exploits, extraordinary feats, if you will. And it's going to build a platform for us to offer our opinion about God. People have done it in the past. I remember when I was in the computer business with IBM, and I remember that when time that sales were down, I mean, the economy was kind of like it is right now, people getting laid off by the hundreds. People weren't just buying. They weren't buying big computers. And yet, I've got this mandate on me by the company to sell so many computers. Well, you know, I would go to the lunch with the rest of the managers and bellyache about what goes on. Bellyache, you know what I mean by bellyache, don't you? Sometimes you're talking to an international audience. I forget that sometimes because, well, bellyache means crying the blues. You know what that means, don't you? Okay. All right. It means I'm complaining, murmuring. Well, the Spirit of God got me and said, hey, why are you doing that? I mean, you've been studying this. Why don't you do what you've been studying? So what did I do? I said, oh, man. I said, came back, and I said, all right, man, I'm going to have to do this. So then what I did is one morning, my sister called, and she said, how are you doing in sales, brother? And this was at the end of the month when I was supposed to have some business. And I said, I'm doing fine, thank you. Call me back at 5 o'clock today. I have so much business, I can't even put it all in the book. And we laughed, and that was that. So, what happened? About 12 o'clock that day, my sales rep starts calling in, and Bruce and Carol and all those people, Sparky and all those people. Next thing I know, I'm back there at 5 o'clock booking so much business. I'm booking enough for me and Leo and Bill and booking enough for everybody. Well, now they wanted to go to dinner with me after that. They wanted to go to lunch. I wanted to find out the same lunch where we've been belly aching. Now they want to find out what's secret here, what's going on here. Now, are you following what I'm saying? Now, understand, I shifted. Now, I'm reading the Bible, but I'm not doing the Bible. See, I'm allowing myself to be a hearer only. And as a result of that, the Bible says, well, let's go over there. Come on over to Hebrews chapter 5 with me, please. Hebrews chapter 5. See, the whole world is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Now, Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12, it says, "For when the time you ought to be teachers, you have need of one teacher again, which be of the first principles of the oracles of God, and become of such as need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a baby. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness." So it's to the enemy's advantage to keep you and me on milk. Because if he can keep us on milk, he can keep us from moving into that place of manifesting the sons of God, setting up a platform by which we have now gained the right to offer an opinion about God. See? So he tries to do that. He tries to keep us hearing the word but not doing this word. And the Bible talks about it over in the book of James. Come on over there. That's in the Hebrews. Come on over to the book of James, right after Hebrews here. And James chapter 1. Let me read this, James chapter 1. And I'll start reading here at verse 22. "But be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own self." That's where you can be self-deceived. "For if any be a hearer of the word, not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty," that's a Bible, that's a word of God, "and continueth therein, being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." So it's interesting how you can go out at night. And as you're going out at night, you go by the mirror. And when you go by that mirror, you look in the mirror and check yourself, see how you look and everything. And then, you're looking halfway good. And then you go and do something else. And 2 minutes later, you pass by that mirror. You check yourself out again, see if your thing is situated right. And then you go somewhere else and then come back again. Are you following what I'm saying? I'm saying now, it's very interesting here how that if you're not a doer, you have to come back again, somebody's got to teach you again, so forth and so on. And somewhere you're going to have to do this thing. Well, it's to the enemy's advantage for you not to do it, because if you don't do it, you'll stay a baby. And we talked about three levels of growth. We said one is a natural man who is an unsaved person. It said that this person is for the most part influenced by demonic spirits. And then we said next is a carnal man or a carnal person. And that person is one who has been born again, but still under the control of the flesh and of the circumstances. Then we said there's a spiritual person. And that spiritual person is the one that the full rights are imparted to that person of sonship. Now, let's go real quick to Galatians chapter 4, please, and let me tell you what I'm believing God for about you. Galatians chapter 4. Amen. Let me know when you get to Galatians chapter 4 by saying, "Praise the Lord." All right, look what it says in verse 1. Now I say, the heir, as long as he's a child, he differs nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. In other words, you're going to need tutors, you're going to need people who are going to watch you and so forth, and won't give you but certain amounts of responsibility because you're not grown yet. You're not adult, you're not of full age. But come on down to verse 7. Wherefore, thou art no more a who servant, but a who son. And if a son, then a who heir of God through Christ. So you're sons, full grown, ready to take responsibility. That's where I'm going to look at you right now. That's where I believe God is looking at us. That's where I'm going to look at you. That's where I'm going to treat you. That's where I'm going to talk to you. That's where I'm going to think about you. That's where, amen. All right? So now in this, we, wherever God sends us, he expects us to rule it. Wherever he sends us, he expects us to rule it. Now again, what we do when he sends us places, if we're still babies, we can't rule anything. We can't even rule our flesh. So we're not talking about that. We're talking about people who are spiritual now, people who are grown up, these people here who are sons. And where he sends us, he expects us to rule it. Now, again, I used to say you are what you eat. And I think you've heard me say that before. But I was reading a book here this weekend, and it was on nutrition. And here's what it said. It said, people say you are what you eat, but that's not exactly true. You are what you digest. Now, that makes sense to me, because I thought of a story that Brother Hagin told years ago when I was first starting out. Brother Hagin was alive here in this earth. He was in the earth. He's still alive. But I remember when he said there was this man who had a horse, and the horse wouldn't eat. And he used the horse for working and going, what, riding, whatever he did on his farm, but he wouldn't eat. And he wondered what was wrong with this horse. And the horse, after several days, wouldn't eat. And so what happened? He called the vet. The vet came out, examined the horse and everything, and he got around to looking in the horse's mouth. And he looked in his mouth and looked down his throat, and there was a stick lodged down there. And he took that stick out, and the horse was just fine. Now, sometimes people say, well, Pastor, it really doesn't make any difference, you know, what kind of word you listen to. He said, all you have to do is chew up the meat and spit out the bone. Well, just don't let one of them get lodged in your throat. You know. And so, anyway, wherever God sends us, he expects us to rule it. So what we are doing here now is we're going over to Mark's gospel, if you will, with me. And chapter 4, Mark's gospel and chapter 4. Now, we've been using this as kind of a background for our teaching, and I want to use it just a little bit more because I think I have some more to say. Now, in this, God is basically taking us back to Eden. Matter of fact, our water that's coming out now, we're naming it Rivers of Eden. When we're talking about Eden, we're talking about a time where Adam was operating without hindrance. That a time that in Eden was the atmosphere of heaven. And God said, pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. So God wants us to be used to bring heaven to earth. And when people see it, they'll want to flow into it. You know what I mean? How many people want to come to America? I mean, just name it. I mean, you need to go to some of these countries. Boy, they're lined up at these embassies for miles trying to get a visa to come to this country. Why? They've seen it on TV. They said, boy, if I could just get to America, I could have my own business. I could da-da-da-da-da. See? They see it. Well, think about heaven. If people ever saw heaven. See? Think about it. And they're supposed to see it through you. Yeah, they're supposed to see it through you. Now, I'm saying that because one of our jobs is this whole idea of manifesting heaven right here in this earth. And when heaven comes into the earth, then glory to God. Let me give you something that I found in my research. That royalty means having a final say in the affairs of my domain. I don't know whether that made any sense. You are a son of a king. Jesus was raised from the dead, and the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, you have been seated together with him. Watch this. Made to sit. It's like if you didn't want to sit down, you're going to sit down anyway. Made to sit. Now, he's giving you royalty status. But what royalty status means, basically, is that it means having final say in the affairs of my domain. So I have final say in my domain. Let me give you another way. Out of Joshua, here's what he said. Every place the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given you. There shall not be any man able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, I'm going to be with you. And I'll not fail you nor forsake you. Now, I'm covering that now because as he sends you somewhere, he's sending you there for you to put your feet on it. And when you put your feet on it, then now you have final say in what goes on in that domain. You remember domain? The territory. Now, in this particular case, here is Jesus telling the disciples, let's go to the other side. Now, let's pick up here at verse 35. And the same day, when the evening was come, he said unto them, let us pass over to the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him, even as he was, in the ship. And there was also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and said to him, Master, care thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? All right. Wherever God sends you, he expects you to rule it. Now, as Jesus was crossing with his disciples, he fully expected them to be doers of the word. But now they're still hearing only. Now here comes a situation. Now, what we discovered, and I won't go back through this, is that Satan was behind this storm. We know that because Jesus rebuked it. Okay. Now, this, they ask, what manner of man is this? Well, he's not a natural man. He's not a carnal man. Come on. He's a spiritual man. Okay? He is in charge of his circumstances and his environment. That's real freedom. So now, he tells the storm what to do. And the storm shuts down. Now, this is an impossible situation. And what I told you is that if you come up against a situation that is impossible for you, that's because it's a faith project. Got it? And the just shall live how? By faith. When it's a faith project, now you step off. You step back and start using your mouth. You start speaking the things. Say amen to that. I don't care how it looks. It doesn't make any difference how it looks. And don't be looking for a feeling, because when it's a faith project, you just crossed over into another realm. You are relating to God, not based on how you feel, but based on what he said. Got it? And so now you stepped over there in that faith project. Now you start speaking to some stuff. Say amen to that. Now understand, you are royalty, and it means that you have final say in the affairs of your domain. So Jesus had final say. The devil did not have final say. Jesus had final say. So now he crosses over here, and he crosses over and rebukes it and told them, where is your faith? So forth and so on. Verse 1 of chapter 5. And they came over to the other side of the sea, the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, and had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains he had broken had been plucked asunder, and the of the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always day and night he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that you torment me not. Now, I remember once when we were first starting a ministry here, and I was going downtown to visit for a friend for lunch. And as I got down there, I was down there, and I was on one side of the street, on LaSalle Street. And it was about noontime, time where people come and come out. And if you know, that's the business district there by downtown. And I was walking on one side of the street, and I looked over the other side of the street, and there was a great commotion over there. There was this guy, and he was kind of kicking at people and kind of swinging at people, and everybody was giving him plenty of room. And he looked like he was a homeless guy. He's kind of tall and so forth and so on, but from the way he was dressed and so forth. So I'm walking on this side of the street. I'm kind of looking at it. But I kept going, and something said, go over there to him. Well, I kept going the way I was going to here, because I got a luncheon engagement here. But something said that to me again. Now, I'm thinking nobody heard this, but I looked behind me, and there was a guy a few paces behind me, and he kept looking at me as if he heard the same thing I heard. Now, understand, the commotion was not here. It was over there. If anywhere he should have been looking, it should have been there. But he was looking at me. And conviction came on me. Now, understand, I'm confessing that greater is he that is in me than he that is. He always causes me to triumph. I'm more than a... See? Now it's time to go over there. Now, are you following what I'm saying now? And so, what did I do? I mean, I got convicted. I said, man. So, I said, okay. So, I'm headed across the street. And probably as I got midways that street, LaSalle Street, you know, downtown, is a very wide street. I mean, something inside went off. Now, when that happened, I felt totally invincible. Remember what I told you? The church is invincible, it's indestructible, it's unstoppable. Remember I told you? But you can't get that sitting by the dock of the bay waiting on time to roll away. You've got to move into it, and as you go, you'll be healed. As you go, you'll see the manifestation of what God's talking about. See, you're trying to get the feeling before your faith. That's the wrong order. You get your faith first, and then the feeling will follow. Got it? And so what happened was, here I was, and I had to cross that street. Now I get to the other side of the street, LaSalle Street. And I get to the sidewalk, go up on the sidewalk, turn towards a guy. Now the guy's some paces, 10 or 15 paces in front of me. And people giving him plenty of room to work, boy, I'm telling you. And I started towards the guy. And as soon as I did, the guy who was like this, he just whirled around like that. Now, normally, I'd have gone back across the street. Normally, under normal conditions, the natural man. I'll come and show, talking about Hasa. Okay?
Go ahead.
Understand, totally invincible. Not even thinking about getting hurt. Now understand, I'm walking towards him now. Now where he had a wide gate and his hand was up, all of a sudden his hands were down. His gate began to close up. Understand, Jesus is coming to the other side. You got to see, it's the same thing in us that was in him. It is no different. It is no different. The thing that doesn't let it come through is your state of mind. Is you haven't renewed your mind to who he says you really are. You are the Son of God. You are the manifestation of what God has in this earth. Amen. They're waiting on you on the other side. So what happened? So okay. As I got close to him, his shoulders just shrunk and everything. You know, he's a tall guy. And I put my arm around him. I said, buddy, what's your problem? And they stole my cigarettes. I mean, understand, these people are around there and they're waiting. The whole earth is waiting. They're all waiting. I'm going to Africa because they're waiting. They're all waiting. They're waiting for you. But you're waiting on a feeling. No, another sermon. Whatever you're waiting on. I don't know what you're waiting on. Are you following what I'm saying? Oh, it's in you. The greater one is in you right now. God is in you now. So what happened? I took him on down there, prayed for him, so forth and so on. But my point to you is, same situation. Same situation. I thought I was going to lunch. No. I was going to manifest. So now, here's Jesus, and this man comes to him. It's kind of interesting. Now, there's a scripture I want you to see. Turn, hold something right there and turn to 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8, please. 1 John 3 and 8. Oh, you got the stuff. I said, you've got the stuff. Now, understand, they that are led by the who? Spirit of God. These are the sons of God. Now, I had to wait on the Spirit of God to tell me to go over there. I was not going over there to show out. I think I'll go over there and let God. I'm at the, Bill Winston did this. I'm going over there, too. Go over there. Oh, Bill Winston did that. I wonder why that man hit me like that. Okay, because you didn't go over there with a divine appointment. See, when the divine appointment takes place, protection comes with appointments. That's all I'm saying. So now, over in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8, here's what he says. He says, he that committeth sin is of the devil. Now, what is he talking about? He's talking about practicing sin. He's not talking about you as a believer and you miss it and so forth and so on. He's not talking about that. talking about the people who habitually live in sin. Amen. Is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose, there it is, right there, the Son of God was manifested, as the word manifested, that he might do what? Destroy. Come on. Destroy what now? The works of the devil. Might destroy the works of the devil. The works of the devil will be destroyed, Son of Man. Now, when you start thinking this way, get rid of all limits. Because now there are no more limits. There are no more limits. Are you following what I'm saying? The limitation is going to be in your mind. It's going to be in your mind, folks.
Amen.
So now, here is Jesus. He's on the other side, and this demoniac comes up to him. Now, understand that his job is to destroy what? The works of the devil. Another translation, the Amplified, I think it says, loosen and undo the works the devil has done. So part of the reason why you're here in your assignment is the same purpose by which he came. It's to destroy the works of the devil. Yes, it is. And when you can't do it with your own strength, step back and speak. It has just become a faith project. And faith will move anything. Now, destroy the works of the devil. The problem in the world is from Psalm chapter 82. He said, God standeth in the congregation of the mighty and judgeth among the gods. How long will you judge unjustly and accept a person of the wicked, Selah? Defend the poor and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Rid the poor and needy out of the hand of the wicked. They know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course. They walk on in darkness. Who? The people of the world. They don't know what's wrong and what's right. Are you following what I'm saying? And we have to understand that God has given the church, it's the most powerful institution in the world. What? Ever. Ever. We have had personally people who've been baptized in that water in Jesus' name and come up out of that water after 20 years of cocaine and never had withdrawals, anything, totally cocaine free. Let me share something with you. I just got an email of one of the trips I went on and went to this particular church in another state. And it says, thank you, Dr. Winston. I was blessed to be a part of the services at such and such a church in such a city. Four of the five services which you, Dr. Winston, ministered. This is my testimony. At the decree from the prophet Winston, my knees were restored. The implant placed in my leg a year ago disappeared. And I went back to the doctor. Now I can play tennis again. That's not just me. When you can't do it with your hands, step back and decree a thing because you are in charge of the whole domain. You whatever you don't want or whatever you won't permit to get in there, it can't stay in there. Now bring heaven to earth. Because when you step in heaven, everything that's wrong with your body leaves because it can't exist in heaven's atmosphere. Well, bring heaven to earth and those things will leave that are in people's body. Come on. God is going to beautify the church in the last day that nothing's going to be wrong with any of us. Get your mind, get the limits off your mind. God can sweep through this auditorium. He can sweep through the house and he can heal everybody in the church. Everybody, come on. But he needs a believer somewhere. He needs somebody that'll trust in him. Say amen to that. You might have somebody on cocaine or somebody living a perverted lifestyle and thinking that they marry this person and it's all right if they get same-sex marriage. Hey, listen, we ain't coming down on people because Jesus didn't come down on the demoniac. He was
was coming down on the devil. He came to undo the works the devil had done. And some people say, well, I just was born like that. That's the way I was born. Wait a minute. Hold on. I know the truth. And because I know the truth and I'm in my domain, are you following what I'm saying? See, it was the centurion. He wasn't even a covenant man. He said, hey, my servant Jesus lies. He's at home, sick of the palsy. Watch this. Grievously tormented. That's demons. And Jesus said, well, I'll come and heal him. He said, no, not here. You don't need to come to the house. You don't need to come to the house because I saw something. You don't have just authority in the natural realm. You got authority up there in the spirit realm. And all you got to do is speak. Come on now, speak. Speak. Speak.
Speak the word only. And my servant, who is miles away, will be totally healed.
Yes.
I'm saying, yeah, you might have some cousin or somebody in the family some miles away, thinking that that perverted lifestyle is just the way they were born. Well, hold it. Go in the closet. Because what you do in secret, God will reward you openly. See, they don't know any better. They're crying out. They're crying. They're in their mind. They're in agony. I know they're in agony because wherever the devil is, there is agony. There is agony, folks. There is no peace for the wicked. Say amen to this. And what our job is to understand that they don't know what they're doing. They're walking in darkness. They're making decisions in states and in countries and so forth because they don't know. But here comes the manifestation of the sons of God. Say amen to that. And you're not disliking anybody. Are you following what I'm saying? No, you love people. But you're going to deal with the devil. You're going to deal with the devil. Put your arm around the people and hug them and love them. But deal with Satan. See, the first thing he tried to do is keep Jesus from getting there. Now, that's resisting you. We're going to deal with that in just a minute. But then this thing, he got there, and now this man is now crying, see, cutting himself. In other words, he's causing himself harm by living that lifestyle. But you know better. You know the truth. You can set the man free. It's powerful stuff, folks. Some people say, well, you know, genetically, they got some things wrong with them genetically and so forth and so on. God can redo genes. He can redo genes, man. See, the only reason people don't think he can do that is because they're limiting God. They're trying to bring God down to the level of a natural man and say, if a natural man hasn't figured out in the science laboratory how to do this, God sure can't do it. That's a foolish thought. I'm hearing that right now. You can go in your closet and pray for your cousin that got some wrong thinking. God can straighten out some stuff. That's what you got here. Somebody prayed for you. Does this make sense? So what happens now? And see, when I decree things, the Bible says a prophet is not accepted with honor except in his own hometown, meaning that you got to go out of town for him to really receive you. Y'all need to stop that. God has anointed me for this. I said, God has anointed me for this. And whether you receive it or not, that doesn't shake my faith and my anointing. You follow what I'm saying?
You ain't gonna talk me out of my gift. But I'm asking you to receive. All right.
Preach. Hallelujah.
Preach. Where was I? Let's go to chapter 5 now, and let's finish that one up. Let me know when you get there. Back to chapter 5 of Mark, okay? Look at verse 8. For he said to him, come out of the man, you unclean spirit. And he asked him, what is thy name? He said, my name is Legion, for we are many. And besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Say country.
Country.
Say jurisdiction.
Jurisdiction.
Okay. Now there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, send us into the swine that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea, and they were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. They died. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus and said to him, that was possessed with the devils and had the legion sitting and clothed in his right mind. And they were afraid. Now, let me just say this. What I did was I did a little bit of a study here on this area that he went to actually set this man free. And the Bible says it was a country of the Gadarenes. You see it up there in verse number 5. I looked up that and it says some Greek manuscripts say Gergesenes. Well, where do we get that word from? Turn with me back to Deuteronomy chapter 7, please. Deuteronomy chapter 7. Now, I've got 3 minutes and 14 seconds. Do you have a little bit more time so I can make sure I do this? Deuteronomy chapter 7, look at verse 3. When the Lord thy God shall bring you into the land, whither thou goest to possess it, and has cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than thou. And when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them. That is very interesting. He said in verse 1, that they're going to be greater and mightier than you. And then verse 2, he said, destroy them. That they're going to be mightier than you, yet you're going to destroy them. All right, let's look what he said were there. He said what was there were Hittites and the Girgashites and the Amorites. I won't go any further. These are all spiritual forces helping those who were on the enemy's side. These are those that were helping them to maintain that possession of that land. All right. Now, I looked up Girgashites. Again, that country Gadarenes was Gergesenes in the Greek manuscript. And the region was Gadara. It was a region that was dominated by Girgashite spirits. Okay? So, what's happening here? Girgashites. A Girgashite was one, it's a spirit that causes people to focus on earthiness, meaning unbelief in what cannot be seen. In other words, The literal name for Girgashites is clay dwellers. Clay, just like you mold something out of clay. And it refers to dwelling on earthiness. In other words, this spirit provokes people to focus on earthly, temporal, natural things and produce a disdain or dislike for things that are spiritual and eternal. This spirit tends to focus on things seen, the visible things, things that can be discerned mentally and intellectually. The Girgashites are very analytical people who base their life's decision on pros and cons and not on the mind of God. A non-Girgashite believer is one that is not easily distracted by what their minds can see. Instead, they focus on what God wants for their lives. For example, choosing between jobs. A non-Girgashite believer goes to prayer and focuses in on things that can't be seen and the things that can't be discerned with a natural mind. And sometimes their decision is even completely illogical. But they don't rely on the perception of a natural mind. Instead, they rely on the voice of the Spirit. Now, in that, I want you to remember that he sent them away and they went into pigs. Now, what do pigs like to play in? Mud. Clay dwellers. And pigs always look toward the ground. It is almost impossible for them to look toward the sky. So Girgashite, the pigs ran violently into the water and drowned. And drowned animals were declared an abomination to God, meaning because they died with the blood inside of them. If you know anything about animals, and I remember my granddad, because he had a farm, he would kill a hog, they would kill a hog, but they would hang this hog up and make sure they drained all the blood out of the hog before they cured the hog and got the meat and so forth and so on. But here's what the spiritual representation of that is. A drowned animal represents a person who died without shedding their own blood. Meaning that when Jesus was on the cross, blood was poured out. What was it poured out for? The sake of others. Now, I'm not saying that a person, you and I, have to die with the shedding of blood. That's not my point. My point was, it meant that when you and I are alive, we are supposed to pour our life into other people. Because life is where? In the blood. Leviticus in chapter 17. Life is in the blood. So you and I are supposed to spend our Christian life pouring our life into other people. Now, Girgashites don't. They are selfish. Selfish people, me, myself, and I. They are always interested in blessing and not being a blessing. So that they assign so much importance to the natural life, Girgashites. Now, I'm not going to deal today with Jebusites. But the Jebusite spirits are spirits that are spirits to tread on or stomp on other people. They are spirits designed to keep people from growing. Lord, have mercy. The Jebusite spirits make people feel small or inferior. The Jebusite spirits tell people that they are inherently inferior. These spirits worked a lot with slavery. You see, The thing that has to be remembered in here is that we are not wrestling against flesh and blood. Boy, that thing's got to come through to you. Because these are all spirits, all seven of these are spirits, man. These are called strong men. Are you following what I'm saying? So let's go now to the last place. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 61. Are y'all mad at me now? Are y'all happy? Okay. All right. Isaiah chapter 61. Now here's the good news. Just stay here. Don't let me sew you up. Now here's the good news. Mm-hmm. Say that with me. Mm-hmm. All right. Praise God. We got something working now. All right. Now, this is something. Isaiah chapter 61. I won't read that only because of time. But Jesus read verse 1 in the synagogue when he took up the book to read, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." But in verse 2, he left out something. "To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn." Now, I want you to get this here. "To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, oil of joy for mourning, garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And they shall build." Praise God, underline that. "And they shall build." Now, let me just cover this and I'll be done. Bam. This is some powerful stuff, folks. Boy, so good. I don't know if my feet moving. Okay. All right. Put something right there. We're done with Mark chapter 4 and 5. And put something right there and go with me over to Psalm 102. Psalm 102. And let me know when you get to Psalm 102. Hello. And Psalm 102, verse 12 and 13. "But thou, O Lord, shall endure forever, and thy remembrance unto all generations. Thou shall arise and have mercy upon Zion, for the time to favor her, yea, the set time is come." Now, what is set time? Okay. This is a set time. If I'm at home, and sometimes I tell my wife to set the clock, I want to take a nap during the daytime or something, she comes in and asks me why can't I set it myself. But that's all right. She comes in. She comes in. And she comes in. And when she comes in, but anyway, she sets the clock. Amen. Amen. And when she sets it, it says alarm set. That is a set time. Can't be changed. No matter how much time goes by between the time I ask her to set it and the time the alarm goes off, it cannot be changed. It's right there. That's a set time. It is a time in this earth that is set. There's a set time. All right, I got to build this picture in your mind. Turn to Genesis and chapter 15, please. Genesis chapter 15. This is God now, and he's working with Abraham. The Bible says he called him alone. Amen. And now in Genesis chapter 15, here's God to Abraham asking, "Hey, now, wait a minute, Lord, what will you give me? I'm childless, and what are you going to give me?" And so forth and so on. And God took him outside and showed him the stars, and the Bible says Abraham believed God, and it accounted to him for righteousness. Now, He's going to prove to Abraham about this promise that he just made him. So he had him to now cut a covenant and so forth and so on. And look at verse 12. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell on Abram. And lo, the horror of great darkness fell upon him. And he said to Abraham, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in the land that is not theirs, and shall serve them. And they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve, what? Will I judge. And afterwards shall they come out with what? Great substance. And thou shalt go into thy fathers in peace, and thou shalt be buried in a good old age. Now let me ask you, how many years did he say that they were going to serve them? 400 years. That was a set time. Got it? Now go to Exodus chapter 3, please. Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. Let me know when you get to Exodus chapter 3. In Exodus chapter 3, verse 19, and I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go, no, not by a mighty hand. And I will stretch out my hand and smite Egypt with my wonders, which I will do in the midst of thereof. And after that, he will do what to you? He's going to let you go. And I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. And it shall come to pass that when you go, you will not go empty. But every woman shall borrow of her neighbor and of her that sojourneth in her house, jewels of silver, jewels of gold, and raiment of clothing, and you shall put them on your sons and upon your daughters, and you shall what to the Egyptians? Spoil the Egyptians. Now this was a set time. In other words, there was a set time for the release of, glory to God. There was a set time for the release, messed up, for the release of the children of Israel out of Egypt. Now, that time was set. Now, Pharaoh resisted that. But when he resisted, it was to his detriment because the time was set. In Micah chapter 5, God told Micah to speak a word that the baby, a ruler, shall come out of Bethlehem. Got it? That was a set place. And so now when Mary was I looked it up in Luke, she was full with child. Now they get on a donkey to go from where they are all the way to Jerusalem because of taxes, and they had to register and pay taxes. Now this woman riding on a donkey. You ever rode on a donkey? 9 months pregnant? That's pretty good ride. But she didn't have that baby till she got to Jerusalem and in a manger somewhere because it was a set place. I'm saying this was a set time. And Pharaoh resisted them. And Pharaoh resisted them, and next plague came on them. Pharaoh resisted them again, and plague came on. Pharaoh resisted them again, and plague came on them. Pharaoh resisted again, and plague came on them. Pharaoh resisted, and pretty soon, Pharaoh said, I ain't gonna let you go. He said, all right, you have just signed a death warrant. Now, here comes the death angel. And if he wouldn't let them go because of those judgments, Now God's going to remove somebody off the earth. You better hear what I'm telling you. I'm telling you, it is a set time for the church that the enemy has resisted you. You see, Jesus didn't come to build a school. Jesus didn't come to build the Joseph School of Business. He didn't come to build a bank, Covenant Bank. He didn't come to build this mall. He didn't come to do any of that. That's our job. But the enemy has resisted us. But now he's been running out of time. You see, it's a set time coming that these things must be so. So now I'm going to tell you something. Everything that's been frustrating you up to this point, boy, you better hear what I'm saying. Let me read it. That everything, your struggle is over, it's ending in your life today, and that everything that has been frustrating you, everything that's been causing you to fail, everything that's been holding back your vision, you're holding back your business, holding back your family coming together, everything that has been tormenting you, everything that's been making you sick, everything that's been coming into your house, I'm telling you, it's over. I'm telling you that the vengeance of the Lord is coming into the earth. This is your season. I speak it right now in the name of Jesus. This is your set time. Now the enemy has been resisting God's people, and now those days are over. He will be tormented day and night until he lets you go. There are things that God has placed in your heart that the enemy has resisted you, has confused you, has distracted you, and resisted you. Well, I got news for you. If it's that marriage that's supposed to happen, it's going to happen now. If it's that school that you're supposed to go to, you're going to go to it now. If it's the business you're supposed to start, get ready to build. Now, take a seat, please. Whatever is resisting you in God's plan for your life shall be stopped today. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 11. The prophet has decreed it. It is so. It is released. Just like he resisted Moses, I'm telling you, it took vengeance for Moses to move the children of Israel from under the hand of Pharaoh. I'm telling you, it's going to take vengeance again, and God is now coming with vengeance. Do you follow what I'm saying here? I want to, Lord have mercy. Oh, hallelujah. Vengeance, the affliction or pain on another, and so forth. And it's not because of hatred or revenge, but it's because of judgment. It's because of justice. Praise God in heaven. But now we got another word to deal with. Verse 31, behold, the righteous shall be what? Recompense where? In heaven. In the earth, much more the wicked and the sinner. And this word recompense means to compensate, to make return of an equivalent of anything given or suffered. It means to requite. It means to repay. It means to return an equivalent for anything suffered. It means to compensate. It means to make amends. It means it for them to pay back what has been taken back. It's a type of retribution. So I'm here to tell you right now that there is retribution. There is payback. There is compensation coming to you that you did not even do. I'm telling you, you about to get harvest where you sowed no seed. And that is going to be John chapter 4 and verse 35. And he said, herein, and verse 37 says, herein is a saying true, one soweth, another reapeth. But I'm going to send you to reap whereon you bestowed no labor. Other men have labored. Now you're about to enter into their labors. I'm here to tell you, when that group was in Israel, Egypt, coming out of Egypt, then I'm going to tell you, it was all the way back to some 16-18 generations that had labored, and slaves got no pay. I'm here to tell you, it's payday. I'm here to tell you that back where your mama, your grandmama, your great grandmama, your grandmama's grandmama, grandmama, I'm here to tell you that all of us being gathered up, but it's just not coming in like that. Turn to Proverbs chapter 6, please. One last scripture, Proverbs chapter 6. The devil is a liar. He's got to give it up. Remember, the donkey stayed tied up until they call for it. Call for the donkey. Call for your money. Call for what is yours. They tell the devil to restore. Look at what it says in Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 31. Here's what it says. But if he be found, verse 30, men do not despise a thief if he steals to satisfy his soul when he's hungry. But if he be found, he shall restore. He shall restore. He shall restore sevenfold, and he shall give all the substance of his house. We're not coming just to take a little bit. We're not just going to be glad to be free and be Christians. I want all my stuff from generation to generation coming to me now. Say this with me. Restore.
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 In Jesus' name.
Jesus.
Now give the Lord a praise. We're coming into our stuff here. This is a set time. Take a seat. We've been trying to build without recompense. No. You're not going to go empty. He ain't playing that. You're going to get harvest where you sowed no seed. It's very important. This is very important. Thank you.
Now, I want you to see this, because God's got something for you to build. And sevenfold will bring you into overflow. Everything. Everything will bring you into overflow.
Amen.
This is a set time now. How does faith come?
By hearing.
When you heard that word today, that was going to give you faith. To call for your inheritance. God's going to hear your word. I guarantee you he's going to hear it. Because there's something inside of you that's not going to rest till you get your recompense. That is important. I don't care who you are. The enemy has stolen money from the best of you in the generation. Sure he has. Every time he made you miss work, you want recompense. Every time he made your mama miss work, your grandmother, it doesn't make any difference. I want retribution. Now, let me tell you who kept notes. God did. He knows everything the devil owes you. Did y'all get something out of this here today? Hey, if you're here and you need to be saved, get up out of your chair and come on up here, right? You need to be saved, get up out of your chair and come on up here. Stand with me right here. Come on, get up out of your chair and come on up here. Stand with me right here. Hurry up, I want to pray with you. Come on, stand up with me right here. Get up out of your chair. You know you need Jesus. Get up out of your chair and come on up here. Come on, all over the auditorium. Get up and come on up here. Get up and come on up here. You know you need him? Come on up here. Stand with me right here. Right here. I want to call all backsliders. I want to call people who also have been born again, but you living like you were never born again in your life. Get up out of your chair and come on up here and stand with me right now. Come on. Jesus died for your sins. Now we're going to get you back into the kingdom. Come on. You don't need nobody to beg you. They've been begging you too long. You need to get up and make a decision for yourself. Come on up here and change your life. The time of begging you is over. This is recompense.